Hi, everybody. My name's Rick Sutley. I'm an Elkie.
What's up, Rick?
We'll find out. Not all of us are at step 11, but the principles are useful to all. I can complicate this very easily, but prayer is what I did when I came here. I begged that I get sober. I didn't know how else to pray. I felt that desperate that I just kept doing that. Meditation was way off for me. It took a while to get to step 11, and when I got there, I was ill prepared to act like I knew what meditation was. I had to learn that very little by very little. Today, my understanding of it is a complete different matter. So I'll make sure I talk to the newcomers and the old timers. Sometimes we see people, or we think that we're cured. We get complacent and we stop maintaining what it is we've achieved by this point. I'm fortunate, I'm blessed that I seem to have always had somebody to keep me between the ruts and to keep on a path. Sometimes we take too much for granted. You know, man, isn't this great? We're sober. We sometimes forget what it is we need to do to keep it. I'm guilty of that as anybody. I think I forgot desperation. When I was newly sober, I was so desperate. I pleaded, I begged, about 6 months of begging, I started thanking. And I think that since then, every prayer I say is one of gratitude for what I've been given. There's three parts to this step. It is a long one. The need for prayer and meditation. Meditation, I found out, is a way of relaxing, find a comfortable spot, lay on a bed, go into the woods, go to the beach, but go somewhere where you're comfortable and try to rid your mind of all the things that are out here in the world. It takes practice to get there. I'm easily distracted, so I need quiet when I'm doing that. I have used, which has nothing to do with AA, some tapes about meditation. Found out how do you meditate, and I've learned some. There's a guy on YouTube, Emmett Miller, and he has like a 20-minute one, and it helps you get in the understanding what you're shooting for. And I also picked up another CD by some woman, Nancy Hopps. And all they are has nothing to do with AA. It has to do with helping us get to that part where we can relax. They teach techniques like tightening up and then releasing. And to be able to eventually get to the part where you kind of sink into your seat and chill out. That took a long time. And that is supposed to, it does help improve our contact with God. I had a relationship all through these steps, but it went to like another level. Here I am again, asking God, hey, help me out. We need energy to do what we do. Physical energy, spiritual strength, and mental health. We hear those a lot, spiritual, mental, physical, you know. That's what we're asking God for, so that we can carry out His will for us. And evidently, on June 20th, my God's will is that I be here for the 11th step. I accept that. Just try not to let down on our guard. Spiritual contact can happen in a second. It doesn't have to take a half hour unless you want to. And to go along with that, to not forget service. That's why we're here, is to give back what it is that was so freely given to us. And that's to hopefully explain to people like yourselves how we got there and how we're still getting there. Faith, prayer, honesty, and humility. I'm still lacking in all those, but I have great faith that things are going to work out just the way they're supposed to. Prayer, I use the Serenity Prayer for everything. I say the Lord's Prayer once in a while, and I have to get the books out to read other prayers. But the Serenity Prayer has been vital to my sobriety. And so, that's what I do. This is like therapy for us. We get here, and we have to learn how to live and let live. One day at a time. So many of these principles are simple, but they're not necessarily easy. Again, you know, more work. Seems like every week I'm up here telling you, more work. Action, that's what we do. If I want to keep this, I gotta freely share it. Whether you want it or not. We have knowledge and power that was not available before. I found myself saying, I can't believe I talked like that. I told that guy, says, that wasn't me. It happens that, I don't know where that came from, but it came out. And if you stay sober and work the steps, those things were available to us all. This kind of a step helps us with efficiency. We get tired because we're always trying to figure out something. We think a lot, and that tires us. And part of this prayer is we're asking God for the knowledge and power to carry this out. So I need help. Spiritual strength, physical endurance, 12 weeks of doing the steps. I love it. And that this is a very honest endeavor. You know, what I get out of this is another day sober. And just a little twinkling of the fact that maybe somebody will get something out of how I relay this message tonight. I never know how this message is going out there, but you're here. When we got started, we had to surrender. We had to admit we're powerless. We asked God for help. We did an inventory, and we did another list. And then we get to step 10, and we're doing another inventory. And you see a trend there. I never looked at myself when I was drinking. It was so much easier to look at you. We have to learn how to forgive and to help others. God will answer unselfish prayer. I was a selfish prayer my first 6 months. I'll get to you later. I'm busy. I didn't know how this worked. And so that was prayers of desperation. Admit our mistakes when we do that 10th step. Praying, spiritual aid, service to someone else. Those are just boom, 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 boom. Over and over, that's the method. We have emotions. Name the list. Hate, criticism, resentment, self-pity, jealousy, intolerance, and some other ones, I'm sure. Because of our prolonged and aggravated insane behavior while we were drinking, I guess for myself that's true, it affected that thing between my ears. I thought I was so smart. When I came to AA, I found out I was pretty dumb. And we use those emotions and feelings as a source of energy. The feelings we get. When you come to a meeting and someone says something that goes, oh, wow, I can't believe that. And the hairs on your arm stand up and you get that warm feeling. You say, thank you. You know, that's just what I needed today. And I never know who God's going to use to help me to stay sober today. So I'm always anticipating. I wonder who it is today. And since I'm looking, I usually find. Even if it's a phone call. Sometimes we just can't come to a meeting, but you can make a phone call to your sponsor or some AA friend. That's just as good as a meeting. That gets you some energy when you end up talking about what it is we do here. And the one thing that eventually we get is love. You know, I didn't realize how much I was being loved by the people that were here before me. I mean, they gave and they gave and they gave, and they never asked for anything in return. And I always thought it was kind of weak that they would give praise to God. That's why they're sober. And I thought, how pathetic. My mind has changed. But that's how I thought when I would hear these things. Say, take some credit for this. You've done work. Any success we're having is much more credited to Him than anything I've done. And that's a pretty vital thing to remember for me, that any success or good things happening because God allows it. God gives it. Thy will, not mine. Thy will be done. Those are phrases I was unfamiliar with. And today, like if I tell somebody, hey, I'm going to say a prayer for you. I'm going to say a prayer for you. I never believed that. You know, Jesus. Exactly. You know, it was quite a concept because I never believed God would, like, help me. And He showed again and again and again how much He loves me by giving me this gift. And I always hated that too. Gift. Sobriety, I thought, was a curse, not a gift. I had to learn how to appreciate and really give credit where credit's due. And one thing, I remember I used this phrase when I'm sponsoring people and they're new and their hair's on fire and their stuff is going on. Everything's going to be fine. It's so simple, but that's the kind of advice that I give, because that's what somebody said. Trust. Everything's going to work out fine. I could have never predicted that it would get so good. And that's just me. I'm tickled pink that I'm sober. And all the things that go along with it. We learn love that embraces God and mankind alike. We serve and appreciate both. Closing our day with prayer of appreciation for His help and our sobriety. I must say that as time has gone on, there was periods when I was at meetings regular. I thought I was doing the things that I needed to do. But daily, to remember, that's what the subject is today. Today. Help me to stay sober. And it's not so much of a begging today. It's much more reliance, I would say. And I never thought. Yeah, that's the problem. I never thought. How is all this possible? It blends together if you stick around. All the steps are connected. Now we're going on opinion. But miracles. We had to change our definition of what a miracle was. You know, I had odd ideas about what miracles were when I was drinking. Like the wife would say, yes. I said, that's bad, that's bad. I told my wife I was going to talk about her. We finally did experiment. You know, you hear this stuff and you aren't sure if it'll work, and you do a little putting your foot in the water just to see. And that's what we do with prayer and meditation. We weren't sure that prayer was going to work. I wasn't. I surely wasn't ready to believe that. But He's shown off so much that I gotta believe in the power of prayer. And meditation, that was way new. That was another level. I thought I was meditating for 10, 12 years. I wasn't even close. I thought I was. So I didn't feel uncomfortable. I wasn't feeling guilty. You're not meditating. I was doing the best I could. But today, when I meditate, the fact that you're going to relax, first of all. Second, try to clear your mind. That takes practice. And then squeak in a quick prayer there, whatever seems to fit your needs. And then kind of sit back and relax and let things occur. I can't describe it any better than that. I just let things happen. Just like air, food, and sunshine, we don't want to refuse those things. And this is part of what we get. The whole package. We're not just praying like we started praying. We're taking it to another level. That's my opinion. And we vitally need support. This program asks a lot of us. I never knew how much work there was to be done. My first venture through the steps, it was tough. But when I got to 10, 11, and 12, I kind of took them in stride. I didn't really work at it. I said, I'm praying, you know, that's like good enough. And that's being a newcomer, being fresh in the program. And that went on for some time. I was seeing a counselor, because I'm not quite right. And I asked her about this meditation thing. And she started like hypnosis. It was just a way of getting you to chill out, relax. And I was unfamiliar with that, but that felt good. You know, the sitting in a chair, really just limp. And we need the light of God's reality. We need nourishment. That's what we get at meetings. That's what we get during the day when you, hey, you know, whatever your prayer is. I know today that a prayer for myself, I always thought that was impossible. How do you pray and not ask for yourself? You know, I was like, geez, you guys really make this hard, giving rules like that. But I've learned how to pray just in a general way, and looking for what's God's will for me. Should I go to a meeting at noontime today? Oh, I don't know. When I ask myself those questions, I know what the answer is. Of course I should go. But my mere attendance at that meeting doesn't ensure anything. There's work. And you know, at some point we start to display our sobriety. We do it in the way we look, the way we talk, how we feel. People pick up on that. I had to learn how to accept a compliment. You know, when you go to a lot of meetings and when you got some good sobriety under your belt, you know, you tend to say things that, whew, where'd that come from again? You know, I haven't memorized anything. Serenity prayer I got memorized. But I know where to find it. And I know that God, you know what God's will for me is? It's the same as for you. God's will for you in AA is to stay sober. That's it. Anything extra on top that is like a plus. And I've gotten a lot of pluses. That prayer about make me a channel, you know, to comfort, not to be comforted. I can't go through that whole list because I only got 25 minutes. I got to talk fast. But that prayer is in there to be read anytime you want. And that's a pretty high bar. When you read it, slowly think about it, wow, you're going to be acting really good. I haven't found that yet. Real good. I'm a very casual recovering alcoholic, noted by the jeans and t-shirt. I've been told a few times by my sponsor that I need to start dressing up. Buy a suit, he said. Other people have shown me that. I used to see old guys at the club, women, come in dressed up, tie, suit, everyday meetings, let alone when you get up here and share. I wasn't following their example very good, but I guess I'm going to be. That's a goal. And all those things that come out of that deeper thought that we can get to in meditation, we're just trying to improve how much we, you know, God's never spoke to me, but he sure has put a lot of thoughts in my head. And that's the reward. Helping you do things that you didn't think were possible. Instead of it just being a one time, you might get lucky and make an intuitive call. It starts to happen a lot more. And these books are just filled with wonderful stuff. And the knowledge and power to carry that out. We see people that were here before us doing it all the time. It's AA is a very good demonstration of what is possible. Definition. Miracle. A surprising and welcome event that is not explicable by natural or scientific laws and is therefore considered to be more the work of a divine agency. Well, I would have never had that definition, but I know what a miracle is today. It's me. It's you. For a drunk to get sober and work on improving the sobriety that we have, my definition of a miracle, it might not be that, but I looked it up today. Miracle. That's what we get here. If we're open, we're honest, willing. I've tried things I never thought that I would do. Period. I just didn't think I'd be capable. Just like leading up to every day before I do this, I don't think I'm capable. What am I? Oh, geez, I hope I don't sound stupid. Now, that's some pride and ego in there. But the fact is, I don't want to let AA down. I want to tell them exactly how I did it or how we do it. And I'd always, when I was drinking, I like to take credit for stuff. You know? Big change, big change. It's humbling. And I think my 25 minutes is about up. Thanks, everybody.
Okay. Thanks, Rick.
No problem.
Thanks a lot. This is the Q&A portion of our meeting. If anyone has a question related to the topic.
Oh, good.
Hi. Kevin, number two.
Hi, Rick.
Hello.
Thank you again for driving up and being the first one at the meeting. Again, another week in a row. Anyway, when you were talking about Step 11, you were talking about your, basically your metamorphosis of how you got to meditation. I know for myself and a lot of other people, meditation is a struggle. And it's a struggle, and you don't know if you're doing it right. You don't know what's going on. You look for advice, and you get overwhelmed by the advice. And so, you said that you were meditating for years, and then you discovered how to meditate. So, could you describe to us like your personal process of how you got to? From where you were when you first encountered this 11th step in meditation, the difference between prayer and meditation, and your own personal evolution of meditation.
You know, so often in AA they tell us, act as if, fake it till you make it. And I guess I abused that privilege at times, because I just didn't know. I didn't know what I didn't know. And it was by circumstance. It was by the luck of the draw. I go to the VA and we happen to have a group. And somebody was talking about meditation in ways that I was unfamiliar with. And that's what made me seek out from that counselor, hey, can you help me? I don't do it that way. I just wasn't even close. I guess I made the attempt, but it was weak. It was weak. And when I got this advice, that was, boom, a big turning point. I had to practice. I learned that I can hypnotize myself by going through some method to, and that's just relaxing and clearing your mind. It probably was good that I didn't try this when I was younger in AA. I hurt myself. Because, you know. But honestly, since that day till this, I'm still got to pinch myself a little, because wow, it can get so good. And I don't want to come in here and fake anybody out. When I first started, I just wasn't good at it. I didn't even know. And when I learned it, then I said, oh, this is much better. I can actually, and I can get a feeling like we sometimes do at a meeting when someone says something that particularly helps us. That same thing can work when we're in prayer and meditation. We can get that. We know it, but we feel it. You know, I can feel that same kind of feeling that I do at a meeting when someone says just what I needed to hear. I can get that feeling when I'm meditating. So it's a far cry from where I come from. And I do know this is all a process, and we don't get it all at once. Living proof. But I was willing. I think that's pretty important. And once I found it, then I don't want to say easy, but it's easy. Clear my mind doesn't take long. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for this opportunity, and to make sure that I don't come across as some holy roller. I am a big book bumper, but that's where I learned a lot of this stuff. Repetition, over and over. Go to 12 and 12s, go to big book meetings. I was so far out of touch with the steps that those kind of meetings, though, really improved my understanding. I talk too much, huh?
Good evening, I'm Paige. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Paige.
When I first came in, my head was full of spaghetti, and it still is sometimes. And I found that what you guys told me to do was overwhelming at times. It was very different from the way I had been thinking and living and feeling. And frankly, when you guys told me I had to change everything, that really pissed me off. And it was very, very, very hard. And I worked hard at it. And so when I listened to you talk about the first 10 years, you thought you were meditating, but you really weren't. I think sometimes it just takes a long time to get the hang of a lot of things in this program. And I'm still getting the hang of a lot of things in this program. And when I heard you talk about the meditation thing, I thought, God, Paige, you're not doing it right at all. But then I have to remember that when I first came in, I wasn't even trying to do it at all. And at least now I'm trying to do it, even though I'm still flailing around with that whole idea. So I guess what I'm trying to ask you is, aren't you still finding yourself sometimes flailing around, sometimes still trying to learn, still trying to grow in this program? And you've been around a while, and you're still working on it.
Indeed.
And so I guess I was of the mind that when I came in, I was going to work really hard for that first year, and then I was going to have it. You know, I was going to, you know, give me a test, I can get an A+, and move on. But it's not at all like that.
No, you're exactly right. So many times, I would be cautioned, this isn't something you just do once. You do it over, and when you sponsor somebody, then you go through the steps again. And each time something happens, sometimes you amaze yourself. But it says so often in our books about this is a lifetime task. You know? How true. I'm a man. I think like a man, and sometimes that's not spiritual. How's that? And you men know what I'm talking about. I fall short a lot, but I've learned not to beat myself up. Over time, that becomes easier. I never get anything perfect, that's for sure. And it's a long, slow process that if you stay at it, people around you will say, I don't know what's going on, but you seem to be different. And those are my first inklings that something was changing. It was just like when I first said I was an alcoholic. Everybody that lived around me, they knew. I was the last one. And that's like how fortunate I was that I was at that group and they talked about meditation and I thought I was sort of doing meditation, but the woman described something that was completely different and she helped me. And that's my story and I'm sticking to it.
Thanks, Paige. Thanks again, Rick.
All right.
Are there any announcements?